An anniversary of the church, and so if we can put that slide on of our anniversary, and we celebrate because Christ is good. Christ is risen, and His church prevails. As we think about a celebration, it really is a time that we rejoice in the goodness of God. 34 years ago, how many of you have worship with us, either at Casey Barn or at Jones Lane Elementary? You want to stand? Okay. All right, so Doris is in here, and Paul, and Jennifer, and Lysu. It's wonderful. Let's give them a hand. Okay. Yeah. So some may not know, Jennifer and working with Doris and Lysu have been helping a lot of the children's work, and Paul was they are founding members and was on the governing board for many years. So we appreciate them coming back today to celebrate with us. There's a lot of things going on. A celebration is not just about the past, but it is the anticipation of what is to come. And so today is a groundbreaking day. It's something new that we have talked about, and so officially we launched Gaithersburg International Christian Fellowship. I'll talk a little bit more about that in just a little while. So when we obey the Great Commission, when Christ said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we want to emphasize the all nations. And so as Gaithersburg Chinese Alliance Church went through these 34 years, we come to the point where we say, we need to go beyond the Chinese people. We need to reach our neighbors. We said we want to be an influence to the community. Well, we want to know, when the lights shut off in this church, will this church be missed? Will we have an impact? And so, following Christ's commission, we are to make an impact in the city of Gaithersburg, reaching out to Germantown, Rockwell, everywhere else that we can be a witness. So we talk about doing prayer walking, we talk about passing out flyers, and each of us would have an opportunity to do this. So loving and reaching the nations, that's what we are supposed to do. Now in the back of your bulletin, you can see that we are intentional about this. The Gaithersburg is the community focus. International, well, that's the people group focus. No longer just Chinese or Asians. We're looking at a whole slew of people. This morning, I think Jean brought a friend. Where was David from? Is he Jew? Yeah. What a wonderful thing. Yo. Okay, thank you. That's amazing, right? You bring your rug to clean, and you brought him to church. So he was here. Actually, he came to the Mandarin service, but I was preaching in English, so he understood half of it. Okay, so bring your friend. You have an impact into your community. And being Christian, that's the whole thing. There is a theological focus. It is focused on Christ. And then we are a fellowship. That's what binds us together. So as we look into this, when we design the logo, people ask, what's the meaning of the colors? Okay. So the color, we look at what our affiliation with the Christian and Missionary Alliance. You see those four symbols there? Christ as Savior, Sanctifier, Healer, and Coming King. So Christ as our Savior, and He shed blood on the cross. That's why we put red. The blue we use as the Sanctifier, as Christ who come and cleanse us. We follow through with baptism. We talk about the water that is being used, the cleansing. So we use blue as that background. Green is the color of wellness. He heals us. He touches our bodies. And sometime in coming months, we'll have a healing service. I really believe that God can heal today. How many of you still believe that? God heals. You do? Wonderful. Okay. So He does. And lastly is the coming King. Christ will come again. So instead of putting purple, like in European colors, we put the Chinese imperial color of the King. Yellow. Okay. So that's why we put those color schemes. Well, you are that part of GICF. Now, I want to make clear that this is a ministry of Gaithersburg Chinese Alliance Church. It is a change. It is more than just a transition of an English congregation into something different. We've always, English congregation, you speak English. But we're more than just identifying with a Chinese church. We're having our own identity as one that reaches out to every nation. So God willing, we'll have people from different countries, from different continents that will come. God has allowed us to be a pastor at Washington International Church. Our 21 years there, we've seen people from 122 countries pass through the doors of the church. So this can happen here through some time, but a lot of it will depends on you inviting your neighbors, just as Jean Lai had done today. So we have identity, many nations, one church. That's what we put out at Washington International Church. But we look at our mission is to love God and to love people and to serve others. So that's what who we are, GICF for short, and you own this identity. So this morning I want to come to the point of talking about church. When Jesus said, be my church. I know there's a saying, you know, don't go to church, be the church. It's good, it sounds good, but it doesn't encompass the fullness of the meaning of church. What is church? We all understand. It's not about a building. What is church? It's not about some pastors who's leading it, who's giving the sermon. So when we think about church, what does Christ mean when He talks about His church? Now, we just read from our scripture this morning from Matthew. When the disciples were asked by Jesus, who do people say that I am? So the important thing is that the church should always be identified with Jesus Christ. He spoke to Peter. Now, many of our Catholic friends derive their understanding of the authority of the church from Peter, who they would say is the first of the Pope or the Apostles. So today, all the way down the succession. And because they said, when Jesus said, Peter, on this rock I will build my church. But if you, I won't go into all the Greek original language, but there is a different tense, there are different sentences that Christ was not really talking about on Peter. He will build His church, but on Himself. He is the rock. On this Petra, on this rock, I will build my church. Well, you may wonder, you know, how many times did Jesus talk about His church? Really, there's only two times when Jesus used the word church, twice. The Greek word, ekklesia, twice. The first one was what we just read a while ago. On this rock, Peter, I will establish my church. Now, the second one it has great implications. If you look that up in Matthew 18 from verse 15 on, he said, when a brother sin against you, go and speak to him. If he won't listen, take a third person, another person, and talk to him. And if he won't listen, Then tell it to the church. And if he won't listen, treat him as an outsider, as a pagan, as a Gentile. In a way, he said, he's outcast. Now, this is huge. Why would Jesus talk about tell it to the church? And then the church is to do something. So it implies a number of things. When Jesus talked about the church, it is a gathering. If we look into the Old Testament, of course there's no so-called church. In the Old Testament, everybody gathered at the temple to worship. But the word ecclesia basically means the called out one. We are called out from darkness, called out from pagan worship, called out from idol worship, called out from those that do not belong to God. The Jewish people understood this very well because they are the chosen people of God. They always feel that we have been specially selected, called out from the nations around to be God's favored people. And so they are also identified as the assembled one. Actually, ecclesia, those are the two meanings. One is the called out one, second is the assembled ones. So that's what we are. We are a called out people, a holy nation. Peter talks about that. We are assembled together. I love to dwell in the house of the Lord. We sing about that. So the Old Testament really reflects that. Talking about relationship with God, never as a solo individual, but always as one with other followers of Jesus. So ecclesia, here Jesus talks about, when two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. So think about that. There's no solo Christian spirituality. We are always needing a community. We are always in need of another believer to really urge us on. That's why in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it says what? Do not abandon the practice of meeting regularly. Okay, so when you come together, you stir each other up, you encourage each other up. I need that encouragement. As a pastor, I need that too. Matter of fact, yesterday I just joined a group of Christian Missionary Alliance pastors, both current and retired. There are about 1,600 people in that group. So it's wonderful to say I can belong even online. Already I have two people who privately message me because I put down that we're starting this new work and they are sending words of encouragement. Why do people go to church? You know, most people when they go, if they are a believer, maybe they're looking for one that will fit the needs of their family or fit their own needs. So when people come to church, the first thing they look for really is a sense of belonging. Do I belong here? It's just like I've been asked to join many organizations. The question I always ask myself is, what use am I? Matter of fact, I just sent my resignation into one group. I just said, hey, I've been here a long time, but I think my usefulness in this place is done. Okay, so I'm no longer going to be part of this. I think in a church, people want to feel needed. Secondly, they want to feel that their needs are being met. Now, we're not talking about being a consumer congregation. We're talking about really being human. Humans, we need interaction. We need someone to be able to, we can talk to. We can, it's interesting this week, I have people just tell me, thank you for listening. That's all they want, someone to just listen to them and their needs, their problems. And some people are looking for solutions, and we're saying, well, we can only give suggestions. We are not really problem solver. So we have to be that welcoming family, to be sensitive to the needs of people. Say, what are your needs? How can we meet you? So when two or three are gathered together, Christ is with us. So really we're looking to become a family of different nationalities. Sometimes the sociologists have been doing this study about blended families, okay, families from different background. It could be racial, by adoption. It could be marriage between two cultures, mine and Nancy are, and Paul and Jennifer is. Matter of fact, international church attract a lot of cross-cultural marriage, right, Wendy? So you can go to one, and even Zach, too, right? Even Asians. And so we look at this. How do we become that family of God? I was just thinking about restaurants, because restaurants, and they used to only serve the Chinese people. And guess what? When they broke out from just serving Chinese, they became Asian fusion, right? You've been to Asian fusion. It's wonderful. I can taste Thai. I can taste Indian. I can taste Burmese. I can taste other. And so at church, when we come together, it's really funny, because people who go to WIC for celebration, they're, oh, this is a taste of heaven, because not just the food, but really the interaction. Children can mix, because they look at their school when they go to school, especially in Montgomery County. We are multicultural neighbors. So we look at this, let's be a family. No one will be left out of the equation. But the church also needs to be a praying church. Jesus said, my Father's house is a what? House of what? It's a house of prayer. And we thought about how can we really build a church that can pray together. I know if you read the bulletin, we have prayer meeting every week here, every Wednesday from 8 o'clock on. We have very few, 5 people, and sometimes 4, sometimes less. But it's not the numbers. My dream, my vision one day, soon, not down the road, is that we will have fellowship group that will incorporate the life of prayer, the life of studying, reading the scripture, the life of fellowship, the life of sharing testimonies. Would you like to be, you know, every week or whatever time we want to gather for an hour and a half or even 2 hours, come together to eat a meal, share about life, share about the challenges that we face, share victory. Here's the answer to prayer. So we're not just praying, but we're praising God for what we will see, how He delivers us from our predicament, from our problem, but also to look by faith. You know, it's exciting when you can grow in your faith because you are listening to other people. You say, hey, they believe, and God answered their prayer. Well, God can answer my prayer too. And so this gathering together, this praying together, first thing is, when we pray, we need to acknowledge God's existence. We need to acknowledge He rules. I may not understand everything, but by faith I can accept that He can help me through this hard, difficult path. I think many of us have gone through those, making decisions. You know, it's hard to make decisions when you're not sure you're going to make the right one. But with God, it's a little different. I really believe that with God, we come to Him by faith and ask Him for His guidance. He will give us wisdom to choose the right path. He will give us directions on how to respond. So, you know, I've got emails, positive and negative, from people, and sometimes you're going to say, how am I going to respond to somebody who's really not nice to me? You know, my wife has a good suggestion, just ignore them. I think that's good, because if I reply to their unkindness, then, you know, what does the Bible say? Bless those who persecute you. That's a good reminder, because the way of Jesus is very different from our own human reaction and response. So how can we grow together? It's by praying for one another and gathering together regularly. Now, we need to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is one of my favorite verses, because it's two things. Sunday school is great. Doing online study is great. Discussion is great. Those are things we need to grow in the knowledge of Christ. What the church needs are mature believers. Paul had to deal with this in Corinthians. He talked about the Corinth people. He said, you're acting in the flesh. You're like babies. You're still drinking milk. You're not able to take solid food, the solid teaching. Can we go beyond the baby states into adulthood in our faith? So being a Christian for a length of time doesn't mean you are mature. But you are mature when you dwell into the Word of Christ, growing in that knowledge. But that knowledge always translates into understanding grace. What is grace? We can recite that. Grace is unmerited favor. I don't deserve it. But how many of us really experience grace on a daily basis? I tell you, every morning when I wake up, I thank the Lord for the grace that I can walk. I have a difficult problem with my knees. And now I don't have pain. Okay? Every morning I say, even if I have pain problem with my legs, I won't be standing up here with you. Okay? So God is here to experience grace, the grace in your marriage, the grace in your relationship, the grace of helping you through a job search, the grace of helping you through even the challenge of your faith. Do I have doubts? I would tell you this. There are doubts for Christians, even theologians. So that's why you can see shifting sometimes in theological thoughts. What is theology? Theology is the study of God. And it's amazing that today we can hold on to the evangelical faith that has been passed down for 2,000 years, that we don't have to be fighting over a lot of things. But there are the shift of others who drift from the faith. A lot of it because they could not balance between grace and knowledge. Some are looking only for the experience. Grace is actually an experience. It's not something you think of. How would you know grace if not for somebody who has been kind to you, extending to you forgiveness that you don't deserve? I think this is one of the first lessons to learn to mature, is to learn to forgive. Our tendency is to be bitter. Our tendency is to focus inward. But when we experience grace, we say, God, I've been forgiven. I don't know if you watched that newscast about the policewoman in Texas who mistakenly went to another apartment and killed the man who was just eating ice cream. She thought there was an intruder into her apartment. So she drew her gun and shot and killed the man. So she was sentenced, 2 days ago? And it was a dramatic thing on television. The prosecutor was asking for minimum 25 years to 99 years. And she was given 10 years. But then the family of the victim came to speak. The brother of this man who was killed, he was just 26 years old, the guy who was active in his church, killed by a police woman. And she said, he said to her, I forgive you because of Christ. And then he did something more dramatic. He asked the judge for permission. Judge, and I hugged her. And that dramatic moment of her coming to him and him hugging her and saying, I forgive you. Very hard to do. I have to figure, can I do that? Would I have the grace to do this? So this is what a church is, where we can witness what God is transforming us, changing us in our way of living. We must be a church that learns to serve. We've all been given different gifts, and God calls us to serve one another with those gifts. It can be a small thing to big thing. We don't need titles to serve. We don't need to be asked to serve. Because sometimes this is the hard thing at church. We say, nobody asked me. Well, you see a need. I walk around the church. When I see pieces of paper, I pick them up. Okay, so I throw it in the trash. I mean, I don't have to wait for someone else to do that. Today, thank you, Emily, for setting up the table. Okay, having drinks. And this is something new we're doing. She and Wendy and Tung, they came last Thursday. They cleaned out what's out there. Nobody had to ask that you can come. I think, Jean, you help a lot, too. So this is something that we can, because we say we are the church. So one thing about Jesus' church is that we come together regularly and to break bread. Communion is that. So in our tradition, we celebrate once a month. In some other churches, they do it every week. But the idea is that we remember Christ who died for us on the cross. The bread represents his broken body, broken for us. The juice that we drink represents the blood that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. So this morning I'm asking you, if you have never given your life to Christ, today is a good day, because the Bible says today is the day of salvation. As many of you who would confess Christ with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, then you will be saved. That's what we're looking for. And if you have not done so, simply just ask Jesus to come into your life. Turn from your life of sin and say, Jesus, take over my life. Sometimes communion is a time really to renew our faith. We may have drifted away from God. We may have felt, you know, I've not been to church for a long time. And this morning I was privileged to meet somebody who said, hey, I have not been to church in 6 months. So good to be back. So that's the joy. You can come in and say, I'm home. I'm home because of Christ. So who are we? We are a people who's been imprinted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are a people who learn to gather to worship him, because we have found the truth, the life that is in Christ, the beauty of God, and we've come to worship him. We found community, and that's what the idea is all about. Christ who founded the church. So we celebrate 34 years, and we celebrate a new beginning together in him. So let's partake of communion at this time. And so when we look at this, the scripture is in there. For Christ, as the Apostle Paul recounted for us, on the night that he was betrayed, he took of the bread. And then after he said his prayer to God, he said, take this and eat, do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, after he took of the cup, he said, take and drink, do this in remembrance of me. So today we'll do communion a little differently. For some of us, this may be a different experience. Instead of having a tray passed out to you, we invite you to come out. Don't have to come and hog the line out here. In your seat, pray quietly, and you feel God say, prompt you to come up now, do that. We have two types of bread out here. One is a regular bread, one is a gluten-free bread. You can come up. We'll do it by intention. That means we dip the bread into the cup of juice, and then you can go back to your seat. You can take and eat the bread when you walk back, or you can wait until you're in your seat in your quiet moments of reflection and thankfulness pick of that. So Billy and Gawa, could you come forward?